Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
To bring in the outstanding Neil Kulong, my good friend, welcome back.
It's great to be here as always. Thanks for having me.
All right. Arthur Smith goes from the Falcons, now is the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. Your thoughts on that move?
That I wanted them to hire. I didn't think that it would work out. The Steelers have something of a pattern of chaos when it comes to coordinators anyway, but we've seen the outside hire be somebody with a very similar resume to Arthur Smith. And by that, of course, I mean Todd Haley, somebody who amazingly turned around in popularity over the last 2 years in Pittsburgh. Smith has the bona fides in the NFL of coordinating pretty strong offense. And the thing that I hung my hat on this offseason in suggesting it, it wasn't long into the offseason when Smith got fired, it was more of whatever it is that happened in Atlanta, to make the argument that some guys just are coordinators. They're not head coaches. They're completely different jobs. People think that, you know, the head coach automatically means he's the best at everything that he's doing. That's not how leadership works. That's not how management works. Arthur Smith, when he was in charge of the offense in Tennessee, he had, in my opinion anyway, up to the point that he took over, a mediocre quarterback. The skill position players weren't great, but innovation, discipline, and just toughness made them into a top 10 offense. In the time that he was there, the trademark in my mind, beyond obviously what Derrick Henry is able to produce, is the versatility of the tight end. That was something that was really on the rise in the NFL. Smith really embraced it, got a ton of run out of Jonnu Smith. Nobody knew who Jonnu Smith was. All of these things suggest a modern offense that leans heavily into the kinds of things that, one, we have seen the Steelers do recently as far as really committing to the run game. Those kinds of things were prominent in Smith's offense. And, two, the things that we would hope that they're trying to do, largely accentuated by the fact that they've spent a second, a third, and a sixth on tight ends in the last 3 years. They're looking to build versatility at that position and make it more of a weapon. I don't know how much run they really got out of their tight ends last season, but let's be honest, their offense was a complete disaster. Smith has good experience and proven success working with the kinds of things that the Steelers can boast as strengths, except they've got an explosive element at wide receiver to go along with it. Now, is this really all that different from those Tennessee teams? I mean, you know, we're not going to compare it down to every blade of grass on the field, but you've got a middling quarterback. I'm sorry, that's just what, whoever it is, that's what their option is going to be, a quarterback.
You got that right.
They've got a running back that might not be Derrick Henry, but who is. He can be a successful NFL back. In fact, he's got two of them. They have an offensive line that they've added to and are going to have to add to again this offseason. It's the right fit, in my opinion, and it's not surprising to me that that's who they were going to go with, outside of the fact that I didn't think the Steelers would want to hire him necessarily, but I think schematically for where the roster is today, for what the Steelers typically want to do, how they want to play the game, Smith makes a ton of sense. And the reaction to this, from what I'm seeing so far, is it's insanely negative, and I don't really understand why. You added another head coach. Somebody with that experience. Most head coaches are failures, just to point out, but being in that chair and understanding every element of a team and how a staff works, adding that experience to everybody else is only going to be beneficial for you. It's the hire they needed to make, in my opinion, and it's the right one.
Now, can coaches foul up something? Yes. But unfortunately, in a world where coaching, scheme, things like that are fancy words used at the party to make everybody make you think that you know what you're talking about. The bottom line is personnel. Does he have the ability to look at his personnel and say, this is what they can do and what they can't do? And with the part that fans can accept that make the criticisms is they don't understand there are certain guys that can't do things. Right? They think everybody can do everything. They can't.
Yeah, they don't seem to like overall that you're not able, able to put Patrick Mahomes under center.
Yeah.
And you're not able to have Kyle Shanahan scheme up what we thought was a fairly mediocre profile within a quarterback and make him a conference champion. I understand all of that. I'm certainly not going to suggest that that's the kind of impact that Arthur Smith can have. But at the same time, you're looking at the polar opposite of what they were trying to do with Matt Canada. And this goes in a direction that carries with it the credibility of somebody who's done this before. There's no way, Najee Harris is a smart guy. There's no way Najee Harris is not looking at this and saying, I can work with a guy like this. He gets what I do. This is good for me. And I think as, you know, largely a prominent member of the team, if not a backbone of the team, the Steelers' offensive line, as well as the running back, should be very excited about this. Now, what does that tell you? It may come as a surprise, but the Pittsburgh Steelers, as an organization, really want to run the football. Now, we spend another show talking about whether that's a great idea or not. What I know is I just watched two conference championship games that if either losing team was more successful or more willing to run the ball, I think perhaps they would have flipped the results.
Yep.
You need to run the ball. You can't just completely ignore the run unless you want to give up, unless you want to score 10 points at home in a conference championship game. You have to be able to run the football. And that's not just simply hand the ball off and let your running back go do what he does. You know, I remember Barry Sanders too. Everybody in my generation can see Barry Sanders making hay out of absolutely nothing on the field. Barry Sanders doesn't exist. Okay, he's not even human. He's not in the NFL. He's not Najee Harris. All due respect to Najee Harris. You have to have a scheme that works. And to have that scheme, you have to teach, you have to communicate, and you have to drill. Those are three things that Smith did clearly in Tennessee. Now, he had horses on his offensive line. I don't think that can be taken away. We can bring up Mike Munchak if we need to go there as well. But the reality is they have the desire to build a team in a way that I think looks very similar to what Tennessee did. In fact, I said that at the time a couple years ago. Arthur Smith seems like he came from Pittsburgh. This is very much how the Steelers would want to play football in the modern day. They don't have Ben Roethlisberger. They're not going to turn Kenny Pickett into a top five level quarterback. It's not going to happen. What they need to do is utilize everybody on the team and get the most that they can out of their skill position players, along with rebuilding again an offensive line that can sustain drives play in and play out. And I think Smith is the kind of guy that has the experience to do exactly that. They're not going to win pretty. They're not going to be a team that scores 40 points a game, but they can be extremely difficult to defend, and you got to bring your big boy pants every time you play them. And that's really what this is about. I think the Steelers want to reinforce a tough mentality and the ability to run the ball at their own will on whoever it is that they're playing.
Because I'll give you an example. Philadelphia is a great example. Jonathan Gannon was blistered in Philadelphia in his time there. Yet, when you now look in retrospect, it was a team that had 70 sacks a year ago. And he understood, if I didn't get pressure on the quarterback and get hurries and sacks, my back seven is not good. He understood that. You got to give him credit. He knew his personnel. This year, the Eagles had 43 sacks. Oh, and by the way, the back seven, which Jonathan Gannon suspected was not great, it turns out they're not great. Right? I mean, again, it's what can you do with your personnel? And he said, look, heck with it. I'm going to put as much pressure on people as possible. And, of course, the fans of Philly, it wasn't, you know, he got blistered for it because when they played Kansas City, guess what they didn't do? Get any sacks. He's got personnel issue in the back. He had a personnel issue in the back seven, and he knew it, and he schemed around it and never got credit for it.
Nope. And, it's funny you bring this up. It's January of 2024. I'd say I've got 6 year long with somebody who will forget today more football than I'll ever know in regards to personnel versus scheme. He's very much a scheme person, and I get that. You can't get past that. But when the rubber meets the road, fourth and goal, game on the line, it's not your scheme. It's your guys. And that those kinds of situations, maybe not literally as dramatic as that, but those kinds of situations decide football games. The other stuff, you can scheme up and win. Don't win, this is very Belichickian of me to say, but if you don't win those 10 plays in a game, you're going to lose, even if you win the other 50. That comes down to special teams. It comes down to your offensive and defensive line. All of it boils down to coaching. The guys on the field, though, that have to execute whatever it is that you're giving them to do. So the marriage of the two has to be harmonious, and it has to produce overall results. And a lot of times, you have to eschew the old school mentality of, well, we do what we do, come out and stop it. No,
right.
you have to set up what you're doing based on what the other team is doing as well. You know, that's kind of basic strategy. You don't want to just do one thing. They'll figure that out. And I think the generation that includes excellent coaches like Jonathan Gannon are aware of that. They have to kind of flip things up and to parlay that into the AFC Championship game. It's unfortunate for Lamar Jackson. I know how badly everybody felt for him and how the game was really only about him and really more of an anti-Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce type of thing.
Sure.
What's getting lost in this is Kansas City threw a gem defensively.
Yes, they did.
They completely shut that team down. Completely shut them down. It takes a lot out of the NFL today, and frankly, if it wasn't for a play of the career by L'Jarius Sneed, that game's a lot more competitive. So you can't stop them completely for four quarters. It takes more than just scheme to be able to do that. You got to have the dudes out there ready to make the big plays of the game. And that was Sneed. I don't know why that's not being talked about enough. We only want to discuss Zay Flowers fumbling the ball. Did you see the play Sneed made to knock that loose?
Sneed
makes the last second he could have done it, too.
Sneed makes a phenomenal play. Here is my criticism of Zay Flowers. You can tell the guys that have never in their life played in a big game. And with all due respect to Boston College, he didn't play in any big games. So what does he do? He taunts a guy and gets a penalty when they have the ball at the 7 yard line. Over here in the back, okay, you're behind. Okay, this is not the preseason game with Atlanta, Zay. Okay, get back and play. You're behind, and then you never reach the ball out at the goal line unless it's the last play of the half, the last play of the game, or fourth down. And it's like no matter how much it was drummed into him, he didn't think about it.
With one hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's
not even like
he's got it squeezed and he's diving away from the tackler to the pylon.
Sneed makes a fundamentally a great effort play. It's not just a good play, it's a great play. But he did it against a guy who checked his fundamentals in at the door and how to play the game at the door in the biggest game of his life, and hopefully he'll learn from it because he is a talented player.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate for him, and sometimes guys make better plays than you do, and obviously he's doing it, not the taunting thing aside,
That's the immaturity.
How. I don't know
it's,
how.
It's immature.
He could have gotten flagged twice for that.
That's
dude,
right.
What are you doing?
I know.
You can't do that.
A, you're losing, and B, you need to, like, let's get going here. Okay, we just made a big play. Keep going here. Now we're point blank. We got a chance to get them now. And instead, you had to do that. You're not playing a preseason game in Tampa.
mobile. There's absolutely no excuse for that, to say nothing of the fact that it was a broken play. You didn't even do anything.
That's right.
It's a big play for your team. I talked to somebody else after the game. I thought he made a really good point. What happened to the time where you're celebrating with your teammates, you're talking to your teammates? Everybody contributed in some way. And I'm not the type that says, you know, you got to be Barry Sanders and flip the ball back to the official. It's an emotional game. Be emotional. I don't have a problem with the first down celebrations and things like that.
No, same here.
You go out of your way after that play to shove your opponent back to the ground, which only blocked him from spinning the ball, which is what you really wanted to do, and then get in his face and talk about it. You are begging the officials to throw a flag. There's no way they couldn't throw a flag in that situation.
That's right.
And for what? It's just stupid. It makes you look bad. And now you have to make up for it. So you do something even dumber, which, you know, excellent point that needs to be said on every level of football. Do not dive for the goal line with the ball. You can't do that, because things like this can happen. And that is what the defender is taught to do in that situation. All else fails, you're going for the ball. You're not going to tackle him if his momentum is going forward and you're off to the side. You're not stopping him. Go for the ball. Because if it goes out of the end zone, it's your ball. Or it just, you know, lands right where you need it to land, and you've got it. A nightmare situation caused by them. But the overarching point here is the players make or don't make the plays. The scheme is important, because you need to know how to put the guys that you have to succeed as possible. If you think it's all you, you're Josh McDaniels. Failed horrendously two head coaching stints because he felt, I can call an offense, doesn't matter if Tom Brady is the quarterback or not. The stuff that he was having Derek Carr do in Las Vegas, it was absolutely ridiculous.
That's right.
That's the reason he got fired more than anything else. Your scheme cannot come above who you have on the team. Would you draw things differently if your quarterback was Peyton Manning versus Kenny Pickett? I sincerely hope so. You can't just say, this worked with Peyton Manning, therefore it's going to work with everybody else. Thank you, Adam Gase. You know, look at his career. Whatever happened to that? You have to be able to mold what you have. And getting back to Smith, that's the key thing. Analyze what you have right now. Give your recommendations, give, you know, your suggestions, things that you want to add, to be added to the team, because we want to do this and that and the other thing. That's all good, but you have to draw it up based on what's there. He doesn't walk around with a magic playbook of all these things that he's going to do. They rewrite the whole thing. It's based on the personnel that they have and what they want to do, and they have to start teaching on that immediately.
The key for Arthur Smith is going to be, what is Kenny Pickett capable of, and what are areas that Kenny Pickett struggles at? And he's going to have to eliminate the part that he struggles at, and he's going to have to somehow accentuate what he's good at. And that's going to be his biggest job, I think, going in, because his quarterback has limitations, but also does a couple things pretty well.
I think that's exactly why Arthur Smith got the job.
Yep.
It's exactly what he did in Tennessee. Now, I get that it didn't work out so well in Atlanta, but let's be honest here. Marcus Mariota, Ritter are probably worse than Kenny Pickett. Okay, it's not a good team. They competed a little bit. Like, he failed as a head coach. I would argue Nick LeBeau is the best defensive coordinator in Steelers history. The failure as a head coach. Got a lot better in Cincinnati. The team didn't. The team was the same. he got a better defense. Everything else fell apart. Todd Haley, at least in recent years, is the best offensive coordinator that the Steelers have had. He's the offensive coordinator that led to the highest points per game average in team history. He was a failure as a head coach. Kansas City's offense wasn't even very good when he was there. He got fired in the middle of the year. He came to Pittsburgh. He would even openly say, I don't really want to be a head coach. I don't think that's the job for me. I want to call plays. I just want to focus on the offense. I don't want to worry about everything else that's going on. So you can't compare Atlanta's offense as part of the reason why Arthur Smith is a terrible candidate for this job. You have to look at when he was an offensive coordinator. And I can't stress this enough. The similarities between the way he called things in Tennessee to what the personnel is like in Pittsburgh, make it a perfect fit in my mind. I don't think it's going to take too long to see what that influence is, to say nothing of the fact that you have a guy that has called plays in the NFL before, with success, with failure. He's been in the hot seat before. He's got all of that going in. I'm going to respect that because he can make players better. You know, I'm going to focus a ton on Najee Harris, and I shouldn't, but this guy coached Derrick Henry over some of the best years of his career. He's a Hall of Fame player.
Yep.
Good coach to have on your side. Pat Freiermuth, Washington, Connor Hayward, look at what they did with tight ends in doses.
Yep.
The versatility of all of them. He got a lot of those guys paid, okay, because the value that they had in Tennessee looked to be translated elsewhere. And, you know, they paid Jonnu Smith, but the other guys they didn't pay. They went elsewhere and got more money. That's what Freiermuth should be looking at right now. He can be a three-down tight end. He can be that type of player.
Yeah.
Washington needs to build and continue to grow. I think they drafted him knowing that, but it's a new day for him. Hayward is probably the best example of it because he's the most versatile out of all of them. You've improved three of your players that played significant snaps last year. They could actually run 12 personnel and look like they know what they're doing. They might line up correctly. How about that? How many times did that fail to happen last year? Six? Like 10 the year before that?
Right.
They're going to get a much stronger level of discipline, I think, than what they had in the past. And I can't stress enough, he is an excellent hire for what they are today and for what they continue to want to be as a franchise.
Always great, fun conversation. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong joining us on the show today.